I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Hello, everyone. I am Jimbo Paris. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. So today we have Joe Nicasso, and Mr. Nicasso is essentially a employee escape plan teacher, and he's also resurrecting America's entrepreneurial spirit. He's helped over thousands of people. He's considered a digital nomad, and he's also a brown belt in karate. So let's sit down, have a conversation with him, and learn more about this interesting man.
Well, hello.
Hello, it's good to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too.
Excellent. So let's first begin. What do you specifically do?
Well, if your business was like a machine, then I would be a business mechanic. So I help people start businesses. I help people grow businesses. I fix broken businesses. And I help good entrepreneurs become great entrepreneurs. I'm a world-class, you know, business troubleshooter. You know, I used to troubleshoot high-tech electronics. I don't do that anymore. I troubleshoot businesses, business owners, and business processes. So I work with that existing business owner that wants to go to the next level. You know, maybe you're making $400,000, $500,000, or $600,000 a year, and you want to make $1 or $2 million a year. I help you do that. But I have a special program specifically for people who want to start a business, but they don't know what business to go into. And that program is called Business Wisdom Quest. And it's an online training program to help you go through a process to inventory your skills and your magic and your talents and your skills and your passions. And it's a process to help you come up with several business ideas and then really decide on, you know, what's your North Star business so you can know where you're going. You know, a lot of people say, I want to build a business, and they just kind of jump in. And they're almost in a business by default and not in a business by design. You know, before you build a building, you know, you want to build a high-rise building. You don't start with the roof and then go to the foundation. You always start with the foundation. But even before you have a foundation, you need to have a vision and a blueprint, okay? And so Business Wisdom Quest is a program that I created to help people create a vision of what does your dream business look like. You know, realistically, you know, practically, you know, viably, you need to, and then get real clear on like who's your ideal customer and what problem do you solve for them. And it's about blueprinting that business. So let's plan it on paper before we go out and build it. Let's make sure we nail it down in the laboratory before we go into the marketplace. And let's make sure that you're doing something that, yes, you want to make money, but I think we want to enjoy what we do making money. And if you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. If you're going to build a business, you might as well enjoy it. So Employee Escape Plan was really based on this idea that every day millions of people are driving reluctantly to a job they don't want to go to. And they're praying, dear God, send me a mentor to show me how to start my own business so I never have to go back to this soul-sucking job. So if Employee Escape Plan is this idea, let's help you escape the job you don't like. And, you know, the Business Bliss Blueprint is really a process that I created. If we're going to help you escape the job you hate, let's help you build the business you truly love.
Mm. And how long have you been in this industry?
I've been helping entrepreneurs reinvent themselves since 1999. I started my first business in 1979. I had a stereo and TV repair business back then. And, you know, back in the 90s, I made $1 million and lost everything in technology. I worked really hard and technology changed and I got really injured from that. But I was blessed to get a mentor, a great man named Jay Abraham, who's a marketing genius. And I spent 7 years learning from him. He's the $30 billion man. And I was really blessed to have an amazing mentor. And it's kind of evolved from there into the current form of what I do today.
What is your definition of marketing?
Marketing, if you have a great product or service, let's back it up. What's my definition of business? Business, we spend money on things that make our life better, hopefully. You know, so why do you spend money on your rent or your mortgage? Because life is better when you got a roof over your head. why do you get your brakes fixed on your car? Because life is better when our brakes work versus when our brakes don't work. And so business, if you want to flip the table, you want people to spend money with you. It's how do you make somebody else's life better and make it so darn valuable. So business is this concept of, if you want to receive a lot, like the money, you got to give a lot in terms of, you know, giving, sharing, serving, contributing, improving the lives, the health, the relationships, the whatever of the clients that you serve. So that's what business is. Now, let's just say you do something innovatively. You know, I help people figure out what's the right business for you. That's one of my services. It's innovation, okay? Here's the problem with innovation. Innovation creates new ignorance. Just because I have this amazing service doesn't mean people know about it. You know, I invented this thing. Do you think people in New York City know about it, or people in Kolkata, India know about it, or people in the Netherlands? Do you think they know about it? They don't. So marketing is number one. It's a way to let people know what you do. It's, you know, innovation creates new ignorance. So the cure for ignorance is education. And so marketing in many ways is an education process to identify who is your ideal customers. And good marketing is not annoying. It's, you know, you're either a welcome guest or an uninvited pest, okay? A lot of people, unfortunately, are not trained on how to do marketing properly. And so they annoy people and they yell louder. But good marketing, you're a welcome guest. You add value and you get people to raise their hand and they say, I'm interested in what you've got. Now, does that mean that they're going to buy from you? Sometimes, but not necessarily right away. Now that you've raised your hand, marketing has a second job, and that is to teach you to want. You know, there's teaching content and there's conversion content, teaching people to want more. And so once people have raised their hand, that's just the start of the relationship. After you start the relationship, you need to continue to build the relationship. You need to help people know you and like you and trust you and desire what you've got. And so the first job of marketing is just to create the initial connection. The second job of marketing is to filter out the wrong people, filter in the right people. And for the right people that stick around, it's to educate them and get them wanting what you've got. And then the third job of marketing is to get people to raise their hand and say, I'm really interested now. I'll talk to you, or I'm really interested. I'll buy from you. If you're selling something low ticket, you can just sell direct. If you're selling something that's more expensive, then you need to have a real conversation with a human being. So the third job of marketing is to fill your calendars who are eights, nines, and tens in terms of buying temperature. Once you have that conversation now you shift from a marketing mode to a sales mode. So marketing is finding the people who are the potential buyers, and then sales is selling those people that you found that are truly interested and moving them from interested to committed and involved. And marketing isn't just online, it's offline. It's, you know, it's advertising, it's billboards, it's public relations, it's getting in the radio, magazine, newspaper, television, podcasts. Marketing is ways to get in front of new audiences. There's marketing to new people, you know, the people that have never met you and never bought from you. There's marketing to the people that have shown interest and haven't bought. And then there's marketing to your current and past customers to get them to buy from you a second, third, and fourth time. You know, I'll tell you, the most important number in your marketing is the lifetime value of a customer.
So this is why you're successful. What makes you different from other marketers is you essentially look at the value of a customer in the long term instead of just the short term. So what is your favorite aspect of entrepreneurship?
In my personal business, I just love helping people solve the mystery of what's going to be the right business for them. That's very fulfilling to me. You know, I think there's three reasons to be in business. There's the money aspect, there's the meaningful work, and then there's the freedom, money, meaning, and freedom. And I think it's, you know, making an impact. I get to impact lives and my clients get to impact lives. As an entrepreneur maker, I really enjoy helping my clients build a business. But, you know, it's really fulfilling is when they take and learn and then they apply what I teach them, when they implement what I teach them and they put it into action. It's like, hey, Joe, I just did what you told me and I brought in seven new customers. You know, that's pretty fulfilling too. one of the things that I enjoy about the work I do is helping people actually stand on their own two feet and put bread on their table without going through an employer that may or may not take good care of you.
And is this same aspect, or, well, you mentioned multiple aspects, but which aspect do you think drives you as an entrepreneur the most?
Now, I get to change lives. You know, I got people that come to me. It's like, I'm confused. I don't know what business to go into. And then they, oh my God, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. That's pretty fulfilling. And then, you know, helping them, now let's formulate that business. You know, I get that phone call. Hey, I just made my first sale in the business you helped me start. That's pretty fulfilling. And then I get the call. It's like, hey, I'm making enough money in my business that you helped me start. I can quit my job now. That's pretty fulfilling too. Again, you know, I think how many people don't like their work, you know, to me, this is my playground. My whole thing is do what you love for yourself and others. Share the love through your service and good marketing so you can receive the love in the form of, you know, gratitude and appointments and sales and cash and repeat business and referral business and video testimonials to help somebody move from I don't like my job to I love what I do, that transformation. When I put my head on my pillow at night, I sleep good because I know I'm doing good in the world.
And what habits have made you an effective entrepreneur?
The habit of not just laboring, but the best habit is building the systems and building the pipelines and building the automation and the processes so that, you know, if you work hard and build good systems, it makes your life easier for the rest of your life. So I think that habit of not just working hard, but working smart and being systematic and, you know, you want to always find leverage. You want to always find, you know, smarter ways to do things.
Okay. So you just explained the difference between working smart and hard versus just working hard. How do you think young entrepreneurs can develop this habit of working smart and building systems and pipelines?
First of all, a lot of people declare themselves an entrepreneur. And that doesn't mean that they have all that knowledge. They don't know those systems. Here's the thing. When you start a business from scratch, when you start a business from zero, you have no systems because it never existed before. You created something new that didn't exist. And so part of your job is to, yes, it's to bring, you know, products and service to the marketplace, but we always need to be looking at how can we, you know, automate our, you know, our different systems. There's nine pieces to creating a business that works. You want me to rattle them off real quick?
Of course, go for it.
So number one is you got to choose the right business for you. A lot of people, they say I'm an entrepreneur and they're not even in the right business in the first place. And I think one of the biggest reason people fail in business is they choose the wrong business for their personality in the first place, or they choose the wrong business for their skill set in the first place. Second thing you need is, now that you know what business is, what does your brand represent in the marketplace? You got to be intentional about building a brand. You know, there is no leader without a tribe, and there is no tribe without a leader. And the highest paid person is a tribal leader, but we don't follow a person, we follow a cause. So what do you stand for? So you got to build the brand. That's the second piece. Now that you know what you stand for, the third piece is, what are you offering? And we need to be really smart about offering, you know. And matter of fact, another reason people struggle in business is they think they have a marketing problem or a sales problem. And the truth is they don't have a well-formulated offer. They have an offer problem. If you've got a good offer, you know, I love offering it, they love buying, and I love delivering on it. Okay, so that's the third thing that you need to be systematic about. The fourth thing is you need to become a good storyteller. In the houses I've lived in, you know, when the advertisements come on, people turn down the volume. They don't want to be advertised to. So a lot of these startup, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs, you know, it's like they have a lot of the pieces of the truth, but they're not executing them in the right sequence, and so it gets in trouble. So I use storytelling as a way to make my point and get it across. So we need to become a storyteller. That's the fourth piece. The fifth piece is we need to promote. And you don't need to promote 100 different places. You need to promote one place that works effectively so you can generate leads every day and clients every week. So you don't need to be on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and LinkedIn. You don't need to be in 100 places. You need to run, you know, you need to generate leads consistently. If you have good quality leads coming in every day, then you're going to get clients every week and you can actually build a sustainable business. So you got to promote, and you got to promote effectively, and you can't be scattered. You got to be focused like a laser beam. You can't be scattered like a light bulb in business. The sixth thing is, once you've generated leads, you got to be systematic about following up and nurturing those relationships. But just because somebody raises their hand doesn't mean they're ready to buy today. And so over time, you got to develop trust and demonstrate you're an expert and demonstrate I can solve your problems. And so that's the sixth piece. The seventh piece that we need to get systematic about is filling our calendar with those hot prospects. We need, you know, I don't want to chase people. I want people to chase me. Jimbo doesn't want to chase people. He wants people chasing him, right? It's better to kiss a girl who's leaning into you than kissing a girl who's leaning away from you. And the same thing is true in business. So we need to fill up our calendar with people that are leaning into us. And we need to get systematic about that. And then the eighth important system or piece, you know, it's mastering the sale, the ability to turn a conversation into cash, you know, and to really discover what somebody's true needs are and then match them up with a solution and then make your offer at this point. One of the things I say all the time is it's malpractice to give a prescription without a proper diagnosis first. So once I get somebody on the phone, I'm going to get to know them and I'm going to, you know, diagnose their situation. And they may not be a good client at all, or, you know, they may be better served by someone else. It's like, as much as I would like to take your money, I'm not the right guy here. Go see this girl or go see this guy. And so I want to diagnose. And then if I can help them, I want to offer the thing that's the right thing for them. Okay. And then the ninth piece is, once we close the sale, then we got to deliver the goodies. We got to make good on our promises. You know, you paid me money. One of my mentors, Tom Hopkins, who wrote a book called How to Master the Art of Selling Anything many, many years ago, he said that, you know, once the sale is closed, the true sale begins. Once they've given you money, now you got to deliver the goodies. You got to deliver on your promises. And if you do that well, you want to be systematic about getting repeat business. You want to be systematic about getting referral business. You want to be systematic about getting video testimonials. If you do your job right, you know, then you can create, you know, customers for life. And so those are the nine major pieces I cover in my Business Bliss Blueprint, which is my proprietary system to create businesses that work.
Okay. Now, that was, you mentioned a few examples there, but just to further elaborate, what are some of the mistakes and wrong practices a lot of entrepreneurs make?
Oh my God, there's so many. You know, I made a list of 55 reasons why smart people fail in business, okay? First of all, we just have to understand, you know, if so many people fail in business, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, maybe you've been taught some lies. Like, I have a talk that I give, almost everything you've learned about business is a big fat lie. Let me give you a couple examples. Number one is sales is a numbers game. That's a lie. You know what? If you treat people like a number, you deserve all the sales you don't get. Okay. When you treat people like a number, you objectify them. Okay. Sales is all about developing relationships. Marketing sales is about serving the client's needs. It's about really being present with somebody and listening and asking good questions and really caring, you know? And so that's a huge mistake people make. Another mistake people made, we covered, is you're not even in the right business in the first place. Another mistake people make is they're in business for the money. So the mistake is loving people, loving money and using people. That's the mistake. And what you need to do is love people and then use money simply as a tool. But when you put money over people, you have now entered the dark side. You know, money at the service of others is good. I served you, you paid me. That's good. Money at the expense of others is dark. And unfortunately, too many people make the mistake. I want to make $1 million. Okay. Okay, great. You want to receive a lot. Here's the thing though. this is a mistake. Don't expect to receive a lot if you're not willing to give a lot. You know, this idea of I want to receive, oh, I'm going to go make a bunch of money. That's a receiving goal. I don't set income goals for myself. I set impact goals. So you can add more value to other people's lives, okay? That's a selfless goal. The money is a selfish goal. The service is a selfless goal. And one of the most selfish things you can do is be selfless. And if people just learn that, you know, big mistake is stop putting the money over the people and start putting the people and the service and the value over the others. And that'll put you on the right path.
That is so true. And I think something that people don't pay attention to a lot is the biggest businesses and probably the wealthiest people in the world are usually the ones that provide the most impact and value to others. You really do receive what you give. And it's just a really good lesson you're pushing out there. Just my two cents.
All good businesses solve a problem. You know, when I meet somebody and they say they're in business already, I'll ask two real basic questions that, you know, who's your ideal customer? What problem do you solve for them? And if you can't speak into people's problems, you know, you're not going to get many solutions, if that makes any sense.
What makes you the entrepreneur maker? And how do you turn employees into entrepreneurs?
Well, you know, entrepreneur maker is a title I gave myself because I think it accurately describes what I do. I mean, you know, I believe children are born as geniuses and then conditioned into mediocrity. So from the day we're born, hopefully we had loving parents. Our loving parents told us what to think. You know, kindergarten tells us what to think. Disney tells us what to think. The Sesame Street, the government, religious leaders tell us what to think. Radio, magazine, newspapers, even podcasts tell us what to think. And what happens is we become disorganized. We're, you know, we have all these, we're diverse and we're multifaceted. Now, the real question is are you showing up scattered like a light bulb or focused like a laser beam? So I've made it my life work to have people figured out how can we organize you into a business where you can add value and get paid for it. When you show up scattered, you're not going to do as well as if you show up laser focused. But there's a whole process of helping you get there. So I'm an entrepreneur maker because that's what I do. And I guess, how did I get here? I think my life has been a unique obstacle course. Somehow my life has put me on a journey where I've been exposed to brilliant mentors that have taught me things. And I just have this unique perspective that everybody has magic in them. Everybody has talents. Everybody has skills. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to be self-employed. It's like, guess what? Everybody's self-employed. We're all self-employed. Jimbo, you're self-employed. Even if you're unemployed, you are self-employed with zero customers. So we're all self-employed, whether you want to admit to it or not. I'm just helping people take back their power and realize that if you take your talents and skills that God gave you and you help other people improve their lives and get paid for it, you're an entrepreneur. Why not get real good at that and get real procedural and create great processes about it? This is who I am. This is what I'm about. I have a cause. I have a purpose to help people take their power. You know, stop working for the man, be the man. Stop working for the boss, be the boss. Own your own power. You're going to work anyway. Why not work for yourself instead of giving your power away to an employer? You know, don't work for someone else and give your power away. To me, that's foolish. I know that you got to have a job. You got to do something to put bread on the table. If you got a job now, don't quit your job and then hire me and then try and figure it out. Keep your job. Keep making money. Hire someone like me. Let's get your business working. You know, prove it out as a side hustle. You know, validate your concept, get your systems working, start making enough money that you know that this thing works. And then once you know it's working, then you can escape from your job. You know, I want you to be financially responsible. If you're a man, I want you to be responsible for putting bread on the table and taking care of your family. You got to be responsible. Just because you started as an employee, though, doesn't mean that that's your destination for the rest of your life. I'm here to tell you, you have a lot more power than that.
You know, as you talk and talk about this, I can't stop thinking about this research paper that I'm working on for media and communication studies. There's a certain term called ideological state apparatus. And a lot of times we're very familiar with something called the repressive state apparatus. And that's sort of the law enforcement, sort of the more physical power that governments use. But what you're handling is a lot more about the ideological state apparatus, where ideas and concepts and more softer forms of dominance, like employee reliance, government reliance. I'm specifically looking at Disney here too, and how it influences children. And I see a man like you as a freedom fighter against this common ideological state apparatus, because you're sort of pushing people into more of this subculture that involves basically empowering the self through entrepreneurship. So again, I do think you're really providing a massive value for people. And, you know, just to kind of follow up here with a question of my own to come back to you is, what are sort of the signs and maybe repercussions of some entrepreneurs who are just not in the right business for
it? Usually it shows up physically. You know, I'm tired all the time. I'm exhausted. I'm working way too hard to make too little, you know, reward. I work with cranky client, you know, in the morning. I don't even want to go face the day. Those are some pretty big signs. I think those are common signs that a lot of people are familiar with. So if you're not enjoying what you do, if the signs are showing up, then don't keep doing what you're doing. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they don't enjoy what they're doing, but they keep doing it because it's like all they've conditioned themselves to do. And so, you know, people will be in pain. They'll keep doing what they're doing until it hurts bad enough that they either break down or they quit or they shut down. And that's, don't wait till it gets to be that late. If you feel the pain, the most important number one determining factor if a human being will change is if they have a sense of urgency. And if you don't have a sense of urgency about making the change, you're going to continue going to that job you don't like. You know, it happens is you're going to be making, or that business that you don't like, maybe you'll be making money, but you're going to just get more miserable every year, and you're just going to turn into a grumpy old curmudgeon. So don't let it get that far. And let me give you a great business shortcut. It's really a spiritual thing, but give to the givers, because givers are wired to give back. If you give to the takers, they'll just keep taking and taking and taking, and they will deplete you. They will deplete you energetically. They will deplete you financially. They will deplete your emotions, and you'll end up feeling really bad. And so we want to give to the givers, because givers are wired to give back. And once we get the signs that somebody's a taker and they just want to receive without giving, that's bad karma. That's bad juju. Get away from me. I don't need that in my life.
Now, Mr. Nicasio, this has been an excellent interview, but before we wrap this up, I just want to know a bit more about your book.
I wrote Resurrecting America's Entrepreneurial Spirit back in 2012. And, you know, I was asked to speak to 50 people. You know, we were all told if you go to school and get a good education, you get a good job. And that's not true. And so I was asked to come to the EDD, the Employment Development Department, and talk to these people and teach them how to market themselves to get their next job. So I talked about marketing and prospecting and initial contact and qualifying and sales and all that. And somebody goes, Joe, it's like, we don't have a problem finding a job. We have trouble finding a job with the things we learn in the university. You know, I got a job in the psychology department, but I'm having trouble finding a psychology job. I said, look, a dream job is not an entitlement. You know, where's the committee to create a dream job for Jimbo Perez? Is there a group of employers out there saying, let's create a dream job for Jimbo Perez? It doesn't exist. But the point is, you're not entitled to a dream job. If you find one, you're lucky. And so my book, Resurrecting America's Entrepreneurial Spirit, was really I identified 21 spirit killers. That's my program to help you figure it out. It's a $500 program or three payments of $187, but it's a, you know, look, before you even go down this entrepreneur journey, don't start working, you know, thinking and start blueprinting. Here's a great quote: even the poorest person can create a superior plan. it doesn't take money to create a good plan. It takes a pencil and a piece of paper. And, you know, if you don't know what business to go into, don't spend any money. Get your thinking cap on. And if you need guidance on it, that's what Business Wisdom Quest is about, to guide you and guide you to a journey to help you figure out what is the right business for you. That's really something that I do that nobody else on the planet is really doing what I do the way I do it.
Okay, well, thank you again, Mr. Nicasio, for being on this show. Are there any sort of final words, any final powerful statements you'd like to make to the audience before I let you off here?
You know, I have a free Facebook group for entrepreneurs and pre-entrepreneurs who want to build that better business. And it's at businessincubatorcommunity.com. If you'd like to join us, go to businessincubatorcommunity.com. It forwards straight into that Facebook group. And, you know, I have some free resources there for people that want some help, but they're not quite ready to hire somebody like me. It's, you know, it's a great, you know, first step, you know, no charge. I just want to let people know, if you want the help, the help's available. I'm very committed to this. I don't work for free, but, you know, this is what I do for a living. But I really think that if you hire a business coach, your business should improve. And I'm very good at what I do. I am a real deal. If I can help you, I'll recommend a program. If I can't help you program, I'll send you to somebody who can help you. All right. Also, I just want to say thank you, Jimbo. You know, you reached out to me and you said, hey, my crowd might get some value from you being on my show. So we made it happen. And so I want to just thank you for reaching out and following up with me, and we closed the loop and we made it happen. We made it happen, dude.
Nice. Yeah, and it was well worth the effort and wait. So just to finish this up here, I just want to do a few quick shout outs. First shout out is going to be to Judy Ryan from LifeWork Systems. She's basically an HR superstar. She goes into businesses, improves the relationship structure, improves the management structure on a completely social level. And her belief is that when these things are fixed, medium to large size businesses can perform at a much higher level. So if you want to reach out to her and you want an easy way to get to her, talk to me. Next thing here is the subscriber count. Again, we're slowly growing in subscribers. We're at 93 subscribers now, but please subscribe now, ring that bell if you want exclusive updates on great people such as Mr. Nicasio, the Entrepreneur Maker, and to just see more episodes that are coming out now. Next part, we also have a Roku channel. Subscribe to our Roku channel as well. We basically push out the same content here like everywhere else, except it's going to be usually more live content. It's higher quality than YouTube. So again, if you want a higher quality show, check us out there too. And then the final thing we're offering now is Jimbo Paris services. If you need somebody that can help provide a brand for you, that can edit videos, make videos for you, that are catered to attracting a specific audience that you have, need me to interview employees in your business, need me to interview experts in your business, need me to review content, maybe make new ads, posts, look at Jimbo Paris services. Now, thank you again, everyone. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.